Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
A personal guarantee is a document that says that if someone or some entity owes money and they can't pay, then you become responsible. Do you have any kids? I have a daughter in college, right? And she needs a place to stay. And she doesn't have any money. So she signs the lease and the landlord says, yeah, no thanks, where are your parents? So there's a little spot further down on the lease where it says, if Amanda doesn't pay her rent, Alex is gonna pay the rent. Co-sign. It's like co-signing, correct. Make sense? So we could talk to the bankers here. I'm sure they know lots about personal guarantees. So you want a loan for your business, you're probably gonna have to sign personally as well. If you want credit from a supply company, they're probably gonna want a personal guarantee from you. You're doing business with someone and you want them to buy from you and you want some additional security, you may ask for them to give a personal guarantee. But what I would tell you is that people don't like giving personal guarantees for obvious reasons. So there's typically a lot of pushback. So the notice to appear is another form that you have to prepare and submit. In essence, it's gonna say you are appearing on behalf of your company to pursue the debt. So the next question is whether you want a trial by a jury or not. I would tell you that it sounds nice, but you probably don't want a jury trial. And you don't want a jury trial for one main reason, and that is, one, you will add a lot of time to your case. Getting a jury picked and impaneled and then for them to make a decision takes a lot longer than a judge making a decision. And in most cases, business debts, which is what you're probably most interested in, are most efficiently adjudicated by a judge. So it's real easy. You go in, the judge hears lots of them. The judge understands the issue, so you don't have to educate the judge about what a contract is, what the documents say. It's the most efficient way to solve the problem. But if you want a jury, you can request a jury, and the other side can as well request a jury that you sue. So just be aware that you may not want one, but the other side may ask for one. So now you've got this case filed. You have to now serve it upon the other side. You can't necessarily mail it. You need to get either a process server, which is a private individual or company that takes your papers and serves it on the other side, or the sheriff will do it. But you got to figure out where they are. So SunBiz is the best way to do it. Now, if you look on sunbiz.org and you find the defendant in the case, one of the items in that screen is called a registered agent. That registered agent, and if you have a company, you have a registered agent. Maybe it's you, maybe it's the attorney or accountant that set up your company. That registered agent is the agent that is designated to accept service of process. So the person that you need to serve when you file your complaint is the registered agent. If the registered agent is not there or not available, then you can start moving down the list of the people to serve as listed on the Secretary of State. So you start with the president, president's not there, you go to the vice president, then you go to the secretary, treasurer. But again, most companies have a registered agent and most registered agents are available. And they're supposed to be available, I believe, from 11 to 2 every day of the week. If you're trying to serve a person, that's usually a little harder, right? The Secretary of State isn't necessarily keeping track of people. But if the person is affiliated with the business, they will likely list an address there as well. But you can go, Google is, quite frankly, our first choice when we need to try to find somebody. So you can try that as well. Put their name into Google and see if you can find it. Juan Rodriguez in South Florida, a lot harder than, you know, someone with a very unusual name. But again, if they're related to the business, their information is probably in the sunbiz.org information. Active military folks have an exemption on service, so you need to check and certify that the person that you are serving is not in active military. And the way you do that is listed here. You can go to the Department of Defense Active Military Duty Service roster, and see if they're there. Now remember, when you decide that you want to sue somebody, that doesn't stop them from suing you back. So you need to be aware that you may file a lawsuit in small claims and they may file a counterclaim. So instead of saying, agreeing that they owe you the money, they may say, I don't owe you the money. You owe me money. And they file their own counterclaim. So remember that. You know, you think, well, I'm driving the bus, so I'm going to sue them. And if I decide I want to stop, I can stop. Well, if they file a counterclaim, guess what? You no longer are 100% in control of the situation. They may decide to sue you back as well. And understand that while what they say in their complaint may not be true, the judge doesn't know that until you have a trial. So you can't go into the front of the judge and say, Judge, this case shouldn't even be here because, and you start telling the reasons. The judge is going to say, save it for the trial. That's why we have a trial. I don't know who's right and wrong. That's why we're going to have a trial. Okay, so let's talk about now the process. So you've prepared the statement of claim. You've served it on the other side. They may or may not have filed the counterclaim. And now you're going to have what's called the pretrial conference. So the pretrial conference is a process in which you show up with lots of other people, and it happens in the courthouse, and it's kind of like a cattle call. So they may be handling 80 pretrials that morning. So bring a good book, bring your laptop, because you're going to be there a while. So you're going to show up, and the bailiff or the clerk is going to have a stack of files in front of him or her, and they're going to go through them. And you're going to walk up and you're going to check in. When you check in, you're going to say, I'm so-and-so on this case with this case number. You should have a copy of the documents. And what's called a return of service, which is the document that says, my process server has told me that they serve the other side. And here's proof of that fact. And the process server will file a copy of that with the clerk as well. So once you have service and you show up, the clerk is going to take your file and set it aside and wait for the defendant to show up. Because your defendant may show up, your defendant may not show up at this pretrial conference. All you needed to do was make sure that they got service on the defendant. So then you're going to wait around for a while, and the clerk is now going to make a couple of stacks of the files where they have a team, both plaintiff and defendant are here, another stack where only the plaintiff is here, and another stack where no one has shown up at all, right? So in the stack where no one has shown up, all those cases are dismissed. The clerk will dismiss them all. If with the stack of cases where only the plaintiff has shown up and there is good service, then those people get what's called the default. They automatically win. So that's your best day. The best day is you have service, and the other side doesn't show up. And when that happens, you will take, you'll go back in front of the clerk, and the clerk will give you a default, and then you can submit what's called a default judgment. We'll talk about that in a minute, which in essence means you win and the other side has lost the case because they didn't show up and defend themselves.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit MiamiConstructionForum.com.
We talked about the different piles that the clerk is going to make. So now let's assume that you have a case in which you and the defendant show up. So what's going to happen? You're going to get sent to mediation, and they're going to have mediators there at the courthouse ready to go. So they're going to send you off in a pair. You and the other side are going to go see the mediator. The mediator is not the judge. The mediator's job is to try to bring the two of you together to enter into a binding settlement agreement to resolve the case. So you get together, and you make whatever decision you want. You want to settle, you don't want to settle, you agree to a payout over a certain time. Assuming you come to a deal, you will write it up on the spot with the mediator. You both sign it, and you'll walk back in front of the judge or the clerk, and your case will be dismissed pending the settlement per the settlement agreement. You have your mediation. You cannot make a deal the other side's not willing to cooperate. What happens next? You go back in front of the judge. This is all the same day, right? You've seen the mediator, now you're going back in front of the judge, and the judge is going to say, okay, have you settled? No. Are you sure? Judge, we're sure. Really? You really, really should settle this case? No, judge, we haven't settled. I'm a really difficult judge. I think you really should settle, right? So the judge wants to get this case off their docket. They don't want to see you, right? But you've decided, you know what? We're going to go forward. So now the judge is going to ask you, how many witnesses do you have? And you have to decide. Now, you got to be reasonable, right? It's probably going to be you and maybe one other person. Maybe. Okay? It's not five people, right? That's not what you want. Really simple. The other side's going to do the same thing. Then you go back to the clerk. They'll give you a trial date, either there or they'll mail it to you. And then at some point in the future, you will then show up for the trial. Right? This is all the pre-trial. Now we're going to have the trial. Now you may decide you want to have some discovery. You want to ask questions. You want to get documents. You can do that. But if you want to do that, you have to ask the judge at the time that he's giving you or she's giving you the trial date. If not, then you don't get any discovery. And that's called discovery, written questions or documents from the other side. Most cases are pretty straightforward. You don't need the other side's documents, right? I provided $4,000 worth of tile. Here's my invoice. Here's my delivery ticket. Here's my QuickBooks statement that says I didn't get the money. What else do you need? It's pretty straightforward, right? So don't get bogged down in turning this into the OJ trial here. Just real simple. That's what you want to do. So then you're going to have your trial. And let's see here. As the materials say, the burden of proof is on the plaintiff. We're getting ready for trial. What is the burden that you have? You have the burden of proof as the plaintiff, which is what's called a preponderance of the evidence, something more than 50%. So put yourself in the position of the judge. What do you think the judge is going to want to see if you provided goods to the other side? That you sent an invoice, that you have proof of delivery, right? Because the other side could say, I never got it. I don't know what they're talking about. Who are you? So it'd be nice to have a delivery ticket of some sort. Related correspondence following the transaction confirming the existence of the relationship. Hey, I sent you the invoice. I still haven't been paid. They write back, sorry, our bookkeeper's been out. We'll get back to you soon, right? Someone that doesn't owe you money isn't going to say, we'll get back to you. They'll say, hey, who the hell are you, right? So the correspondence you have supporting the idea that you're right and they're wrong, even if it's just tangential, is important. Those are the things you want to bring with you to court. It's also something important to remember as you are handling your business. You always want to document these things. To the extent you can document it as just part of your daily practice, that's a good thing. Attempts to collect a bill in writing via email where you're getting responses back, that's going to support the idea. It's going to make it harder for the other side if you decide to sue them, either yourself or with a lawyer, by the way. You know, we're talking about cases under $5,000, but the same thing applies if you're owed $22,000, right? You still want to have that backup so that you can hand this information off to a lawyer so that it improves the chances of you winning your case. We talked about the witnesses at trial. Again, try to keep it to either yourself or one primary witness, maybe two. Your trial is only going to take about an hour, and that's a lot. Sometimes these trials take literally 15 minutes. So the shorter you can do it, the better off you are. If you need witnesses to show up at trial that are not in your control, you need what's called a subpoena. A subpoena is a document that you submit to the clerk. The judge will sign it and send it out. You will send it out, and you will serve. So if there's a third-party witness that needs to show up, I did my work and the inspector approved it, and you decide that it's important to have the inspector there to testify, you need to get that inspector there. How do you do it? You need a subpoena. Again, as you start to get into more of these issues, your case is more complicated. You may want to think about, you know what, maybe I should get a lawyer to help me with this process. Because understand, if you make a mistake, while the judges are lenient, they are not going to abandon the rules and just say, well, we don't have to worry about that because you didn't know what you were doing because you're not a lawyer. Most judges, even in small claims, are going to say, the rules are the rules. Whether you're a lawyer or not, you need to follow them. If you didn't serve a subpoena properly, right? So you may get your case dismissed because you didn't know about all of the rules that you need to follow. Now, many times, if it's your bookkeeper or it's your accountant that you need, right? It's a project manager that is no longer a project manager, and they agree to show up, you don't have to subpoena them. You just tell them, hey, I need you to come to the trial, and they'll come. But if they decide not to show up, there's nothing you can do. If you subpoena them and they don't show up, then they could be held in contempt of court.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forms on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.